theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today, honey?
Good. How are you, my love?
I'm doing grand. I'm very grateful to be able to have a wonderful chat with you. And I love our podcast. It is a lot of fun, and I think it's rejuvenating.
I agree. I couldn't agree more with you, actually.
Yeah. I hope that some of our friends find it as a useful tool to, one, maybe wake them up and maybe feel a little bit of energy for them to go get the day started, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and really, I just think that, you know, listening to conversations, and these are just like real, raw conversations. We don't really edit them or anything like that. They're kind of very much spontaneous and in the moment.
Yeah.
That you guys feel like you're right here in the room with us, kind of discovering things alongside us as we are discovering them ourselves.
Yeah. And today we're talking about a new discovery for us. I mean, it was maybe a few weeks ago, but we've been playing around with it for some time now, and it's called Clubhouse, which is an app that a lot of people have been using as a trendy way of doing kind of voice conversations.
Yeah, I think, well, to describe Clubhouse, it essentially is kind of like a audio-only social media app, right? Where people can kind of come together, create clubs based on different interests that they want to, you know, kind of discuss and have conversations about. And you can create these different rooms where people can join in and just listen, basically. So like as you're working or doing whatever you want to do, like you listen to a podcast, you can listen to a live conversation. So when you're in a room, it's not after, it's live. It's not like after the fact recorded and then you're listening to it, you're actually listening to it live. And so there are only a certain amount of people who are able to speak. Those are the speakers in the room.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. I think that the real appeal of Clubhouse began when it launched and it really only was available to a certain group of individuals.
Well, it still is kind of exclusive.
It still is. You can't just download Clubhouse and without an invitation, just open it up and start participating. You have to actually be invited by someone who is already in Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And so, and actually under in everyone's profile, you actually see who nominated you.
Right.
So who actually invited you. So who was the one who brought you into the Clubhouse. So it is kind of like, I think that it started and it still is really kind of being propelled by this elusive kind of secret. Oh, I not just anyone can get in there, right? You have to actually be invited by someone who's in there. And the group of people when it first started, which was about like summer of last year during the pandemic, you know, people were having the people who were actually creating the rooms in Clubhouse were really all, you know, like journalists in tech and people in Silicon Valley and like venture capitalists and like that tech world for the most part. And so, you know, like I downloaded it when I found out about it, I downloaded it and I think I downloaded it like late summer and only just about a week ago was I actually able to get in. And not that I was really trying too hard, you know, to like get in.
More curiosity.
It was more just like, what would that social media application really be like?
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that I was able to actually, I did get in. I got in from a fantastic woman that I was able to network with on an online meeting about, you know, women in entrepreneurship and stuff. She invited me, wonderful woman. And yeah, then I invited John and we started we started experimenting and it was interesting to see like who I knew who was already in there. Right. So I'm like, oh, cool. This person, I didn't know that person would want to be in here, and others. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense that you've been in here for sure. But I don't know how often people use it. There are so many different like meetings, you know, basically going on 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really, there's not a single minute, I don't think, where you're there's going to be like dead space.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversations happening on there all the time.
And it's kind of, to me, it's kind of like tuning into a conference call. And you can raise your hand to be able to like ask a question to the speakers, but I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if I really like it or not. At this current moment, as we're recording this, I'm not that big of a fan. I mean, first off, I understand the elusiveness of like invite only, but I actually don't really appreciate it that much. I think that it's kind of like, oh, did you get your invite? And it makes it kind of feel like, I don't want to say like snobby, but like, you know, it's like, oh, wow, they got it, you know, and watching it spread, I can see how that makes it appealing. Like, you know, it's like when Facebook was exclusive only to those who are attending university, and it makes people want to join more because they don't have an invite. But it's like, to me, it's like, I'm over that, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I actually, for me, I mean, I was really curious and excited to kind of, you know, go in, but instantly it was like, almost like I was overwhelmed already by how many different conversations there were. And I also, I mean, I could look up who these people are, but I'm also like, I mean, I don't really know if I should be listening to you or not, you know, like I would, I mean, there are some conversations on there, and I'm sure like when it really first started getting going, it was like you were able to listen to a conference call of like a venture, some venture capitalists and entrepreneurs talking about like, you know, you want to hear those conversations. Those are conversations that you can't get on Facebook. No one's going to share that. Right. Yeah. So it's a little bit more private, but I think as more and more people got on, to me at least already, I feel like, whoa, this is too overwhelming. There's already too many people, and I don't really know if you're legit. Like,
yeah, I think that's a big important part of it is how do you know the quality of the people who are speaking, you know? And sometimes you know them, and you, I guess you could look them up, but there's so many people on there that I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can handle another person telling me that they're an expert on entrepreneurship. You know, like everyone's like, everyone's becoming the guy who's like, you know, he's the advertisement where he says, look in my garage, here's my Lamborghini, but that's not my most prized possession. Look at my books. And then he shows his books, and everyone's becoming that dude. And it's kind of annoying. And I'm trying to find really, really great quality in an efficient way so that you can kind of get through it really, really quick. But I can't handle too much baloney. And that seems a little, it's got a scent of baloney behind a lot of it.
Yeah. And that's an unfortunate thing, because I mean, to me, that's really the thing that repels me from social media, is that anyone, regardless of who you are, can all of a sudden start a channel or a profile and claim to be the expert of whatever. And because you have a following, people think that you are legit.
That's
a problem, you're not. Like, I think that we all have this like weird relationship with quote experts, right? Some people get really upset because they think it's elitist, and who, why would we trust the experts? But then there's this whole other side to it where people are trying to pretend to be experts. So how do we really find out who the legitimate expert is, and what does an expert actually mean? You know, like, how many hours have you been doing this? Or are you just doing this because you were able to pay for a bunch of followers, and now that like momentum is really getting you going, you know? And so it, but unfortunately, Clubhouse still has that same thing. And for me on social media, like, I'm not one, I'm not there to show myself. I'm really, if I want to, if I'm online, if I'm actually, you know, spending my time online, and I'm on a social media platform, and I'm not learning something that I know is like actually really valuable pretty instantly. I'm just seeing like fake versions of people's lives and fake people telling people how to get rich quick. I'm out. I'm out so quick. Like, it's like TikTok, Instagram, all these different, you know, platforms. I'm like, man, this is, I get the whole business cycle. I understand the business model. I understand how people can do it, but it's just the barrier to entry is so low for people. Unless, and so that's kind of where I had some hope for Clubhouse. I was like, okay, well, at least there's a barrier to entry. Maybe this would create some sort of a platform that I would find, you know, super valuable, like really great conversations that I would really get a lot out of and like, you know, come out like thinking like, wow, that just totally changed my perspective. No, I haven't, you know, like I really haven't. Like, the quality to me on social media is so hard to come by, like real quality content. Like, I just, I don't know where it is. Maybe it's, you know, maybe I need to, you know, spend time finding more of the quality content, but dude, that takes a long time. You got to search and sift through a lot of the bullshit. And for me, I'm not really there to like see what other people are doing with their life. I really just want, I mean, at least maybe that's the difference between me and a lot of people, how I use social media is like, I just really want to, you know, learn about something like interesting, you know?
Do you think the quality of the person who's presenting or speaking depends on a bit of like, what do you, how do you measure it? I would say authenticity plays a major role in that, but I did notice that you said that how much time have they been involved in this, you know, and it's not necessarily their following or other factors. Like, how can you differentiate which one's the real deal and which one's, you know, not of the quality that you would like?
I think that's a real opportunity right now for anyone who, you know, wants to take it is like, how do you really verify someone's legit?
Yeah.
How do you really do that? And I think, you know, I was just watching another, you know, a video that, you know, one of my favorite CEOs, Charles Hawkins, you know, Hoskins, made basically just like a live video in his frustrations on Twitter and on Instagram on the fact that like other people have been creating fake profiles that people follow and like actually get tricked into some scams and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's been contacting, like, he knows the people who have founded these companies, these execs, like he knows Jack Dorsey, he knows the people at Instagram. He's telling them, like, why are you not verifying me? Because people are getting tricked online and they aren't doing it because it's, you know, part of the whole system of scams and like people getting like new profiles and a lot more people following, it's part of their business model.
Right.
And it sucks, but I think that that's an opportunity online for verification of like, who is this person? This person might have 17 followers because they just don't care about doing the whole influencer thing. But that person has, you know, basically been the top of their field and expertise of whatever you're trying to find. How do you find those people more?
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, how do you actually even like onboard those types of people to become the more prominently listened to individuals online rather than some, you know, like 21-year-old who says like, hey, I'm the best real estate investor because I did this, this, and that, you know? Like, I just think that it's an opportunity. I don't know how. I mean, it takes a lot of time. And to me, like, the internet is so vast. It's so large. And it's like, I don't have that much time to like really find them. So I kind of end up giving up and I just don't open social media a lot anymore.
Well, think about like LinkedIn and how easy it is to like add so much of your experience and all of your previous jobs to it to make it look like this massive successful resume.
Yeah.
But nowadays I'm even questioning, in all honesty, certain degrees if I don't know the university's name.
Yeah.
You know, no. Like if it's not from a super legit university, like a brand that I recognize, then I'm like, where is that university? Is that real? You know, because nowadays you can pay for degrees and it's a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many people know all of the universities in Europe? How many people know all the universities in China?
Yeah.
In Kazakhstan, in Pakistan? I mean, you could like really, there are legitimate businesses who are selling fake degrees.
It's a problem.
It is.
And I will say that it's almost wrong that I'm even saying this, that like, I don't believe it until I like get verification. But you know what? Sometimes there's a little clues. Like we've been working with other people online through consulting and stuff. And I have to say that when I see their quality is not up to par, I go and look them up online. I'm like, where the heck did they find this person?
Yeah.
Is this person the real deal? And I'm not sure at this point, in all honesty. I am not sure if they're of quality without me doing a super deep dive beyond LinkedIn. I don't have time for that.
I know. It really is. The ID verification, you know, for social media and individuals is a real problem, I think. But
So,
I mean, going back to Clubhouse, though, I mean, to me, the thing with that is if it was like, okay, I'm like feeling like I'm interacting with this group, like you got to be on, like, listen, like you're like involved in this conversation.
Right.
That might be different, right?
Yeah.
I might treat it a little bit differently, but it's still so passive.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I think that I like that they experimented with this because, you know, everything else is so video focused, video based imagery, all about your face and all that stuff. This kind of takes all of that away instantly.
Yeah.
And you're just listening to ideas and conversations, which I really do appreciate. I do think that part is awesome. But at the same time, when I'm entering a room, I actually don't know how great the quality of the conversation is going to be or not.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about like, you know, okay, Elon Musk is going to talk with Kanye West on this day. Like, why do I need to tune in it live?
Yeah,
it's not like I'm, you know, like I'll just listen to it when it gets posted again on YouTube or something like that if I really want to.
Right. Yeah. Elon Musk's conversation when on Clubhouse are the ones that get the most attention. And it just brings in the question, how advantageous is it to hear it live in the moment versus it comes out, I don't know, a few hours to a day later on YouTube? What are your thoughts? I mean, it would have to be something that would, I don't know, allow one to capitalize instantly by having that knowledge at the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much info you can really gain from it where you're like, oh, dude, there's a new opportunity right here. We got to get on this. And there's only a few hours before this goes public.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's a really good good point. But I can see, you know, I can see it being a place where a small group of people can kind of like connect a little bit more, like artists, you know, like musicians. Like if you've got like a niche that you're really like interested in, you know, networking with, I think that it could present opportunities, but you'd have to be really engaged and involved. Like you would have to be really like asking questions. It wouldn't be a passive thing, you know?
So maybe smaller groups.
Smaller groups. I could see it.
What do you think is the greatest advantage of it being audio only versus having a video as well?
That you can do other things simultaneously.
Mm.
You know, like for
a listener.
Yeah, for the listener. Like so like on TikTok, you're obviously engaging like the whole time. You're not, it's not a passive activity. Most all social media is like that, right? You're like actually watching it, but you're wasting a lot of time too. Yeah. So at least you can listen to a live conversation while you're doing the dishes or you're cleaning the house or you're on your commute or whatever you're doing, walking on the beach.
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of nice, is that it's not all consuming of your time and focus and attention.
Yeah. One negative of it though is you can't listen to it at 2x speed because it is live.
It is live, you know? Yeah.
And so there's pros and cons. That's the advantage of once the conversation gets posted to a different platform, you can go at 2x speed and you can absorb it all in double time.
Yeah. You know? No, it's true. Well, I do think that, I think that Clubhouse when it first started was probably everything I could have imagined a social media application being.
Hmm.
Like it's small.
Yeah.
I know the people, it's very entrepreneurial. It's a small group of people that I could look up and be like, wow, okay, I know this person. You know, like I don't know that person, but I know what he or she is invested into and what they're trying to build. And it's small.
Yeah.
I think that like, you know, obviously right now on social media, it's all about growth and how many users and you want it big, you want a big following, but like really what are people getting out of it besides people who acquire this big following and social media you know owners?
That's a good question.
I mean, they're all, the rest of us are just like pawns in their game, and I just, to me, I feel like the smaller it is and the more intimate, the more you feel like you actually are getting out of it.
Right.
You know, like that should be the value.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, I'm just different.
That makes it more of a conversation.
Yeah.
So the importance of actually being able to join the conversation versus just listening.
Yeah. Engage.
And then raising, because they'll have, you know, a group of maybe like 7 speakers and then 200 people who are listening. Attending. You're not going to get to ask a question if you're one of 200 and there's 100 hands up in the air, you know?
No, I know. But and I do get the dark side of that too. You know, the fact that like, you don't want just like Joe Blow coming in and just like saying random comments where it's like, who is this person? Why they obviously don't know what they're talking about, or they're asking, they're really driving the conversation in a different direction that no one wanted it to go. So kind of like, to me, in a way, kind of almost feels like you're recording, if the panel is really good, and this isn't the case in all of the rooms,
right?
But if the panel is really good, I could see how it was like seen as like, it's like a South by Southwest conversation and we're all in the seats, like
that's cool,
watching the panel
if it's a great discuss, one, that, if it's a really exciting. Good one. So I've only had one really good experience with Clubhouse, and I want you to tell me if you've had any good ones too, but I'll tell you mine. Mine was, honestly, I didn't listen to it live. I found it on YouTube after.
Yeah.
But what I thought was so great about it was hosted by what was a radio show out of Singapore. So there were these radio hosts that have been doing this for a very long time, and they were able to gather an incredible panel of individuals that were experts within this field, and it was a global conversation of individuals all around the world talking about this really relevant subject. It was on non-fungible tokens within the blockchain technology, and it was very, very fascinating. And one thing that I really liked about it is it allowed the individual who made the purchase of the $69 million JPEG, which is crazy when I say it like that, he was able to have a discussion with them and not give away who he is. There's no video. It had his pseudoname, and he was honest. And these different individuals that they brought together were really, really top quality.
Yeah.
And it took, I guarantee you, it took a lot of effort and time to get all these people to agree on this one time to come together to have this discussion. And that is an art. How often does that really happen versus, hey, I'm creating a room, this person would fit, this person would fit. Oh, this person can't do it, I'm gonna replace them with this person.
Yeah.
And then they just bring together a group of individuals, because it's 24/7. I mean, you can actually get your room to get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
If you're doing it at the right time and, you know, manipulating like what's going on live, and people are like just typing it in and seeing it there. This one was actually an elite group of individuals. And if that comes together, I think it can be wonderful. But the amount of time that it does come together versus how often it's mostly just a variety of individuals that one person thinks is a good individual to be part of a panel.
Yeah.
It's so rare, and I don't have time to, you know, just like I can't even figure out which individuals I should follow to find those quality group conversations.
I'm 100% with you. It is hard. I think that the like searching for the best ones, it's almost like I would really appreciate like someone who had like a really refined curated list of these things, like, because it is really interesting, because when you go on Clubhouse, I mean, we are very interested in blockchain technology and NFTs and different cryptocurrencies and, and what's going on in that space. But the problem with that right now is that, I mean, everyone thinks that they're a goddamn expert. And it's like people are just having these conversations constantly and people don't know better. So they're like, oh, this person obviously is talking about NFTs, so I should go in here. And it's constant. Like, and it just feels like this is kind of well, and the founders actually have, like, in their beta testing, they did say that part of their struggle is the same thing that all of the other social media platforms have been struggling with too, is when people are being really, really horrible, when people are faking it, when people are, you know, saying, like, spreading misinformation in the Clubhouse, like, it's audio and it's live. How are you going to change that? How are you going to, like, prevent people from doing that? Well, I think censoring who can actually start a room and who can't might be a good place to start, but they don't want to do that yet. So, like, anyone can start a room. Just anyone who's in there can start a room.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I read an article saying, like, basically reading that there are people in India who are willing to pay money to get invites to get onto Clubhouse. And so, like, because if you're in it right now, people think that it's elite. So then, okay, you must be in here for a reason. That's so sad. Now, therefore, you should be the expert I should listen to. But, you know, I think that it obviously it's an interesting experiment. I think that it will be interesting to see how it evolves. The idea of having, like, a really amazing panel, like, you can listen to a South by Southwest panel like every week, sounds really cool.
Absolutely.
You know, but I almost feel like a podcast that basically curates the best conversations from Clubhouse, you know, might be really an interesting opportunity for someone to do. But for now, I just think that it's overwhelming. And maybe until I find, you know, I actually take the time to find some really good quality Clubhouse rooms, I'll probably spend my time elsewhere where I know the information is going to be really worth my time listening.
Overwhelming in the sense of we've gone on there like, okay, we got a notification. This sounds like an interesting topic. Let's check it out. This is not what we were looking for. Yeah. This is, I don't know. Sometimes it sounds like people are just like playing a guessing game of a conversation in there. And so it was like next and next and next. And we're at the point where we're saying, maybe I'll turn my notifications off.
I know. Unfortunately, it's true. But I mean, the truth is like, I'm glad that we tried it. I mean, we're
not giving up on it.
No, we're not giving up on it. We're going to keep on experimenting with it, I think. But it's a really great idea. I think it's a really great idea. I just think that the people who are on there maybe have a different style of consuming information than most people on social media. So like if I'm a VC and I'm on there and I'm like, all right, cool, maybe I'll find some interesting entrepreneurs on here. You know, I want to, like, it's going to take me so much more time.
That's a horrible strategy for a VC, but
But it's cool because there's no Zoom involved. There's no video. So like, it literally doesn't matter what time zone you're in. No one cares where you are. You don't have to set up a whole screen. You can literally be like eating dinner and like just talking and hosting a thing, you know, and that's kind of, that's really convenient in terms of, you know, scheduling really great speakers together. Like you usually have speakers across different time zones and that's difficult to kind of put together a virtual conference online if you're on video.
So that's very, very good. For some reason, I always associate Clubhouse with LinkedIn. Like for some reason,
it is more professional.
It just reminds me of it. Like the images that people choose to have on their profile picture for Clubhouse, I was like super professional. And I'm just like, dude, Clubhouse sounds like a fun place. I want to go to a fun place. And I have yet to really get that like fun vibe with what I'm looking for out of it. I don't know. Can there be a perfect blend of having it like really fun, but yet professional?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think so. I don't know. I'm. It's a good question.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's like a combination of podcasting, talk show radio, and like a conference, like a South by Southwest conference in some ways. But then in other ways too, when you tune in and you're just like hearing people talk about, you know, entrepreneurs, you know,
there's characteristics so much of entrepreneurs and so much blockchain. I mean, I guess there's probably some fun ones in there, but what are you trying to get out of it? You know, if I went in there and I tried to find March Madness picks, I don't expect to find quality. It could be a little bit of a fun conversation, but I'm not trying to get, I'm not trying to go there to find out which one has been analyzed and this is the reason they're going to go there. I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It almost seems like, you know, just a normal everyday conversation. It could be fun for a group of friends to do one, but like no one's going to want to listen to that, you know? Yeah.
But if you do a friend one, wouldn't you just do like a video conference call instead?
Yeah. And you can turn off all your cameras. Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm with you. I don't know. And I don't really know what happens after the...
That's a good point.
You know, like, how do you publish that after? Does it stay on?
Does it stay there?
We have a little bit more to learn about it. But if anyone is on Clubhouse and listening to this, and you know, has a different perspective or you know any advice for us on how we can maybe make our experience on Clubhouse better,
please
do share with us. I mean, to me, the unfortunate thing is like the way that it's designed right now. It's not intuitive enough for me to really feel like right away I'm going to get a lot out of this.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the idea and what it is, mm-hmm. you know, that it is an audio only social media.
Yeah. They're talking about the valuation of Clubhouse being like so many billion. And I'm just like, I don't know if I could say that that's something I believe in long term.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, like, look, we actually went to college during the days when Facebook, you could only go on Facebook when you had a college email address. And so like, as soon as we got into college, like all my friends and I were like, yeah, let's like sign up for Facebook. Oh, this is so fun. This is for college people only. Mm-hmm. And that really was a huge appeal for Facebook.
Yeah.
The moment that it opened up to everyone, the appeal went away so quick. Mm. And,
well, it's not, I don't know, to everyone yet, but
yeah, well, I'm just saying if it's to actually reach any sort of, the valuation number is crazy. If it's if it's going to reach that, it's going to have to open it up to everyone. And once it opens it up, the floodgates come in. Like I have so little like time for just hearing random conversations, right? Like at least with the podcast, the barriers to entry are you should have a really good, you know, microphone setup. There's like hardware equipment that you should probably have. There are like actual ideas that you have to talk about. And then there's the whole promotional aspect. And then you can distribute it to lots of different types of, you know, listening platforms like Spotify or Apple or, you know,
and random 2x speed is a big thing too.
I think too. Yeah. And so, but then you edit it, right? You can add more things to it. You can actually really make it feel like a very immersive experience.
Yeah.
You know, like some of the best, I mean, there's some really great, amazing podcasts out there right now who have some quality sound engineers where it really feels like you, when you close your eyes, like you, people are walking through your head, like, you know, really from right ear to left ear. It's amazing. You're not going to get that on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I'm not really sure how this is going to go, but it does feel like, you know, I don't know what the future of, it's not like it's going to take over Facebook and Snapchat or anything like that anytime soon, but I kind of hope that they kind of keep it small in a way, but who knows?
It'll be interesting because I never thought Snapchat would become so successful, but stories really changed Snapchat in a major way. And then it like helped it accelerate its growth massively. And they started just as almost a picture messaging company. So I could see Clubhouse making some major shifts and moves.
Yeah, me too.
And then it could really get more figured out for, I don't know, getting people what they want, which I'm assuming at this point is trying to find guidance or quality information on the subject that they're interested in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I just thought of this one idea though. Perhaps even if like Clubhouse did a design change where like there were a limited amount of spots for people to come in, and if you took a spot, like you're required to be there. Like you take a spot, that means like we're going to kind of call you out if you don't show up, kind of a thing. So then like you're committing to it a little bit more, and the people who are speaking are committing it to the people there. So even though you may not speak in it,
yeah,
you're at least considered a part of this little group.
That's
you know?
An interesting concept. I don't know. I like that. That was creative.
We'll see. Yeah. Anyways, like seriously, if anyone does have any comments about Clubhouse, let us know. Yeah. We're on there.
You can find us on there too.
Yeah, you can find us on there. Hopefully we'll hear from you soon. But thanks so much for taking the time to listen to us today. We appreciate you and your time. If you have a moment, please do subscribe, rate, and review us. It helps us out a lot. And otherwise, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Bye.
This journey through sound.